William Lyon Phelps once said that our faith in God and in Christ and life itself is based on the resurrection. For as Paul said, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. 1 Corinthians 15:14, that scripture quotation. It was Michelangelo, the artist, who said as he stood in company with his fellow artists one day, as he was contemplating several masterful paintings, and especially a masterful painting of the crucifixion of Christ. And he was heard to say this. He said, "Why do we fill our churches and our art galleries with portrayals of his crucifixion as if it all ended there? He is risen. He is alive." And yet many today do not believe. There are many church houses which are sparsely populated this morning. There are others who have found that those who have started their life as Christians have found it too difficult, whose faith has not grown as it should. We've been studying the book of John. John said that he wrote the things that he wrote, and that Jesus did many other signs and wonders that he didn't write about. But he said, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And that's what it's all about. Living a life for Christ, being in Christ, and having that hope of eternal life when this life is complete. That rests totally upon the resurrection of Christ. If Christ has not been risen, as Paul told the church at Corinth, then don't worry about believing in the resurrection. Don't worry about you being raised yourself. If Christ be not risen, forget what I preach to you, he said. Your faith is vain. My preaching is vain. All is lost, including their souls. First day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early. Not a bright day, as Joe mentioned today, a bright sunny day. It was not bright because it was still dark. It was yet dark, the writer says. John 20. She came unto the sepulchre and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, John, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. There were other women with her. Probably the reason why she said, we know not where. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So there Peter and John. So they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter. He came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. But even though they didn't know that scripture, we find that this other disciple, the fast runner John, believed, at least he believed that the body was not there, as Mary had said, the stone was gone, and they found that the body was gone. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home, somewhere likely into Jerusalem. I don't think, not at this time did they go to Galilee. This morning, our lesson, He is risen, He is alive. Hallelujah, Christ arose. And we believe that. I think each one here that's a Christian believes that Jesus Christ arose from the dead. But there's so many who don't believe it. How do you convince someone else that Jesus rose from the dead? You say, well, it's totally by faith. Well, it is mostly, much by faith, but faith comes by hearing, doesn't it? And hearing the Word of God. And the Word of God is based upon a bunch of facts and things that took place in actual history. Jesus was an actual figure of history, of the first century. We learn about Him mostly from the Bible, but we also can learn about Him from the writings of Josephus of that time, a historian of that period of time, who tells us about Jesus. Oh, he didn't believe in Jesus, as far as I know, and believe all the things that he did. He didn't walk daily with him as the apostles did for three and a half years. But let's look at some evidence of the resurrection. I think the reason for doing this is twofold. Number one, it should increase our faith. John says, I wrote these things. And I wrote these things. Many signs did Jesus and the present disciples, which are not written here. But I've written these things that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Then believing, you might have faith in His, you might believe in His name, have faith in His name. Have life in His name is the Word. And you know where He said that? At the end of the 20th chapter, which talks about the resurrection of Jesus and the appearances of Jesus. He said that right after that particular sign. The miracle performed by the Father in raising the Son from the dead. Evidences of the resurrection. When Mary came to the tomb, what did she find? Stone had been rolled away. Well, I don't know. I don't know about those tombs of today. We place people in the ground. In a casket, many times a vault, and we cover that, and then husband, wife, most of the time would want to be buried side by side. That's not the way it was done, at least that's not the way Jesus' burial took place. Joseph of Arimathea had a tomb, and this grave site was hewn out of rocks. And there was a big stone placed nearby. Well, let me read what I found out about it. The rock-hewn tombs in Palestine were usually closed by a circular stone. You see, when Peter and John came to the tomb, what did they do? Jump down into it? No, they probably ducked their head a little bit and walked right in. So it wasn't just a place where you placed the body and then you quote entombed it with soil. Rock-hewn tombs in Palestine were usually closed by a circular stone. Picture a circular stone. Not picture one. How big do you picture it? Yeah. Often weighing several tons. Now your picture's grown bigger, hasn't it? Weighing several tons. I've never moved anything like that. I'll never move anything like that. God can move things like that. He said, you have enough faith, you can move mountains. Well, so it was going to take that here. The stone weighed several tons, and it was set in a slanting groove. So here's a tomb, open tomb, where they placed the body. All right, remember that. The Jews had some instructions for Pilate about Jesus' body, didn't they? What did they tell Pilate they wanted done? Because they were afraid that the disciples would steal the body. What did they want it done? They wanted it secure. Okay? They rolled that stone weighing several tons. It didn't take much. If it was on a slant, that stone could be just given a shove, probably by a normal-sized human being or two, and it would just roll into place. And you can see that rolled into place, and it covered the entrance to the tomb. And then what else did the people want Pilate to do? Put a Roman seal. So if anybody moved the stone, they could tell, you know, because I guess they thought he'd move it and put it back in place. But what else did he want done? Let's put some soldiers there. Let's put some Roman soldiers to guard that tomb. Nobody will get that body. Nobody will get that body. The Roman seal, the Roman government, and tons of rock. That body is going to stay where it is. But it didn't. So what are some evidences of the resurrection? The fact that the tomb was open and empty. Open and empty. So when that stone was released, it by its own weight would roll into place and cover that door. So soldiers, stone, seal. When Mary appeared, that tomb was open. Early on that Sunday morning, she didn't peer in. Being dark, she couldn't see inside. She thought best to go get Peter and whoever might be with him, probably. It happened to be John. She found the stone rolled away, and she told him. That's all she could tell him. Question that could have been asked at the time, and it was asked at the time, and it should be asked today. Inquiring minds want to know. It used to be a commercial, didn't it? Inquiring minds want to know. We should have inquiring minds. Don't accept everything somebody says from the pulpit. Let us know what the Word of God says. That's what John said that was the reason he wrote the book of John. He says, read it. And when you do, you'll have greater faith. And that greater faith will lead to the eternal life you want. And you've been promised. What a shame to go through years serving, quote, as a Christian. Partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning and yet not having the faith that we need to have to do what God wants us to do in between Sundays. Question. Who would have moved that stone? Who would have moved it? The women? See, there was more than one woman, but no. Not that rock. Not the way that they placed it in front of the tomb. It was placed in such a way that they wanted nobody to get at that body. They didn't want anybody to come up there and roll it away themselves. That would have taken the combined strength of many men to have rolled that rock back and opened it. So the women didn't do it. They were the earliest visitors to the grave of the site, though, and they found it open. They didn't expect to find it rolled away, and they were incapable of rolling it away themselves. What about Jesus' disciples? Let's say that they rolled it away. They would have been suspects, wouldn't they? Because Jesus promised to them a kingdom. A kingdom. Why? Mother Zebedee, John, James' mama. We don't know her name, so they were the sons of Zebedee, so I call her Mama Zebedee. Mama Zebedee wanted the best for her boy. She wanted one of them set on the right hand and the left hand when Jesus came into his kingdom. Jesus said, you know, she really didn't know what she asked. And Jesus really wanted humility. He showed those apostles in washing their feet that, no, it's not on my right hand or on my left hand. Get that down there at my feet. Be humble. Be servants. Now, the disciples, I don't think they did it. If so, they did it without the knowledge of the women. They did it without the knowledge of Peter or John. Because, you see, it says that Mary ran. I don't know how many women ran back at that time and how far they ran. The men either dressed the way they were dressed. Mary ran. Peter and John ran back. You think they ran back and said, this is just a fool, whoever might be writing about it later. We already know where it is, but we took him out. Well, they didn't take him out. The story itself is written by God, is written and directed by the Holy Spirit for John to write. Does not indicate that John was there. John was one of the two. He was the beloved apostle. He was the apostle that Jesus loved. If they'd been involved, if Peter and John had been involved in it, I think they would have said, you know, Mary, we know where that body is. You know, come on with us and don't make any big deal out of it. They wouldn't have then come running to the gravesite if they knew where the body was and knew it wasn't in the tomb. What about the enemies of Jesus? Maybe they moved that body out of there just so that the disciples couldn't get at the body and then say, well, you know, he said he would be raised the third day and you don't see his body in there, do you? He arose. But that would be a hoax, wouldn't it? That would be a hoax. So the enemies of Jesus, maybe they did. But it wouldn't have been in their best interest to have done it, would it? Plus the fact they still got the stone. They still got the soldiers. Still got the seal. A crucified Jesus was one thing to the Jews. To the enemies of Jesus and the apostles. A crucified Jesus was one thing. A crucified Jesus that had been raised from the grave was something quite different. They did not want that. They did not want that in all that it would suggest. The open empty tomb exists as evidence and proof of the resurrection of Christ. For those who do not believe, for us who do believe, it should strengthen our faith. It should strengthen what we believe. It should help us as we march onward and upward to our eternal home. Evidence of the resurrection. The appearance of the grave clothes. If you went to a grave site like they had back then, and you went into the tomb, I don't know about John. Why did he stay back? Peter was always the impetuous one, wasn't he? He was always the leader. I probably would have stayed back too. I don't know whether I'd wanted to see what I might have seen inside that tomb. I'd want Peter to find out. You know, Peter go in, you know, let Mikey do it. So Peter went in. But let's read again chapter 20 of John, beginning verse 3 through 8. Chapter 20 of John, verses 3 through 8. Peter therefore went forth, that other disciple came to the sepulcher. They both ran. Now, they ran together. That means they ran at each other. But anyway, the other disciple did outrun Peter, came first to the sepulcher. He stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in. I'm not sure what he really saw. I don't know how far they were away from the tomb as Mary went back. It was dark when she went. It couldn't have been very light when Peter and John got there. Said, then cometh Simon Peter, follow him, and went into the sepulchre, and he saw the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and he believed, for yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. When the unnamed apostle, when John came to the tomb, he peered in. Likely, you know, dawning of the day, not bright and sunny like today, but dark like it's going to be tonight at about 4:59 or 4:50. And we're going to expect it to still be light. It's going to be dark like it'll be starting to get there. So when that apostle got there, he looked in. He probably could see very little. Note that in John 20 and verse 1, that Mary Magdalene said, he said about Mary Magdalene that she came on the first day of the week. On a Sunday, but it was Sunday morning. We're celebrating it today. This is a celebration that Jesus arose. We think of the crucifixion yet, but as Michelangelo said when he saw all the paintings, and you know, there needs to be some paintings of the resurrection, of the open tomb. But folks don't want to go that far in their belief. All the crucifixion is important. Yes. Mary Magdalene came quite early, still dark. She just peered in and I don't guess she peered in at all. She just saw the stone rolled away. I better get Peter. I better get John. I better get somebody. I better tell them. So, John likely saw just an outline of those grave clothes. That's just an assumption. And assume that the body of Jesus, probably assumed that the body of Jesus was gone. We don't know what he assumed, what he thought. He didn't go in the tomb. John says simply that the unnamed disciple saw the linen clothes lying. Took Peter when he came. Peter, when he arrived, he went into the tomb. So Peter's going to find out exactly what is in that tomb. And the other disciple came with him. In John 20, verse 8, says the other disciple saw and believed. What did he see? What did he see? He saw the grave clothes that had been left in the tomb and that they were neatly folded. With a body gone from a tomb, I envision a mummy, you know, in some of those mummy shows they used to have. And the stuff comes unwound. You know, that was the way they wound the bodies around and put the various ointments in those wrappings to take care of the body when one died back then. But what did he see? He saw that the grave clothes didn't look like somebody came in and unwrapped them and threw them off and took the body. But he perceived the significance of the fact that they were lying that way, and that there was no body there, that Jesus had been raised from the dead, that he was gone. That's what he saw was the clothes, apparently fairly neatly laid out. What did he believe? Jesus claimed that although he would be crucified, that on the third day he would be raised. Now, it says that those disciples, Peter and John, didn't get that from Scripture, Old Testament Scripture knowledge. I don't know necessarily the significance of that, but he saw and he believed, and whatever the glimmer of hope that he had, it wasn't built on any knowledge of the Old Testament. It's built on just what he saw there and what he believed. John 20, verse 9. Now, I think we'll get a little bit more into that and what they thought and what they believed and when they believed in the next thought, the next evidence of the resurrection. Jesus appeared to the apostles, appeared to Mary and the apostles afterwards, after he was raised from the dead. Appeared to Mary evidently first, while she was outside the tomb. I guess she came back with the apostles. Verse 11 of chapter 20. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. She wept. She stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and saw two angels. So we don't know the time lapse there. But she saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. The body was gone. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Seest she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not whether they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. She was the first to note, here the woman at the tomb, she was the first to see Jesus. Not on the first occasion she went there, she would have told the apostles that she saw him. But she came back and later saw him. And he asked her, Woman, why are you weeping? Who do you seek? Whom seekest thou? She supposed him to be the gardener. You know, not expecting someone to be raised from the dead, you don't expect someone to be the one that was in the tomb. And she did. Sir, if thou borne him away or hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. I'll go to where he is. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not. I'm not yet ascended my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she'd seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. She saw and she believed what she saw because she went and told the apostles. Next appearance, real briefly, Jesus appeared to the apostles. Again, verse 19, says on the same day at the evening, so that same Sunday, Jesus was raised. On that first day of the week, doors were shut where the disciples were, and Jesus came to them in that room. And they'd assembled there for fear of the Jews. That's the reason they hadn't gathered around the cross. John was there. He knew the high priest and maybe had some kind of pull with the political pull. But he was there at the foot of the cross. Evidently, the others there was still some fear. But Jesus stood in their midst and said, "Peace be unto you." And when he said this, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw it was the Lord. So they believed. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, even so I send you." And then Thomas wasn't there though. Thomas was, so we call him Doubting Thomas this day, don't we? The next time Jesus appears to them, Thomas is there. Thomas told the other ten, remember Judas has gone his way, he's not a part of them anymore. When these ten saw Thomas, or vice versa, the ten said, "You know, we saw the Lord." Thomas said, "Wait just a minute. Except if I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my fingers in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand inside, I will not believe." So who does Jesus appear to next? The disciples, and Thomas is present. That's when we get that great statement of belief from Thomas. Jesus appeared, again the doors were shut, and he stood in their midst. Verse 27 of chapter 20. Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." He directed his statements to the statement made by John, or made by Thomas. Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto Thomas, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." We're among that group, aren't we? We have not seen, but we believe. We believe on the facts of God's Word. We believe on faith in Jesus Christ that comes by hearing the Word of God. And it's right after that that the statement comes, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." So, the reading of Scripture is very important. Much more important than listening to words that I say. Unless they're scriptural. Scripture is more important. I like to read Scripture. When I hear somebody preach or teach, and they sound good and they have a good lesson, but if they don't have Scripture, I don't really get it. Many buildings are filled, though, with people who don't want to hear Scripture. Scripture gets at the intents of the heart and the thoughts of the heart. It's like a two-edged sword, the Word of God is, isn't it? We've got sin in our hearts. The Word of God gets at it. David said, "You know, thy word have I hid in my heart. Where? Well, that's where sin's going to start. And I hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So folks, the more word we can get in our heart, the better off we are. That's what David thought. And that's been written and held for us down through the years. Because God wanted us to have that. There can be no doubt that the Christians of the first century believed. And this is our last point. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, throughout that chapter, he's teaching about the resurrection. And he said there were over 500 brethren that had seen Jesus. He said many of them are still alive, he said to these people at Corinth. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you go ask them. I mean, Paul could say in and of himself, you know, boy, he spoke to me on the way to Damascus. And then he later taught me. I certify, brethren, that he said, that which I learned came from Christ, came from God. You better believe that Paul believed. You better believe that the early apostles believed. They didn't hide the body of Jesus. They knew he was raised. That's what they taught. Why teach something that you know is not truth? They taught truth. Those early Christians believed it because there were still people living in the first century. Well, I saw him after he was crucified. I saw him during that period of time, 50 days between the, or 40 days between the Passover, that Sunday, and the 40 days later when he ascended back to the Father. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also is vain. Paul didn't stop there, though. Later in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, he said, but now is Christ risen from the dead. But now Christ is risen from the dead. He is risen. He is alive. Hallelujah. Christ arose. There's one here, not a Christian this morning. Why not come to Christ today? The book of John was written that we might believe. And I think if we read and study throughout the book of John on our own, or whether in this series of lessons or whether we go to the internet and go to the website of the church here and we go back and listen to those lessons, it will help our faith to grow. And if you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and you've not expressed that, you've not repented of your sin, repent of your sins to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what Jesus told his apostles to do while he was here on earth during that period of time before his ascension. He says there's a job that's got to be done, fellas. You got to go into the world and you got to preach the gospel. The good news. It wouldn't have been totally good news if you just had a Christ crucified, but I am raised. I'm going back to the Father. I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father on high. I sit down, my work has been accomplished, and I reign and I rule in my kingdom, the church. Why not come this morning? If you're a Christian who's fallen away, why not come back to Christ? Rededicate your life to Christ. If you need our prayers, we'd be glad to pray with you this morning. As we stand, as we sing the song selected.